recognize that there are some things that we have to let go of. As we go along, we have to let go. And yet there are other things that we are tempted to let go of. We realize that we need to keep doing those things and not quit, but carry on with those things. Sometimes it's not easy to let things go that have to be let go, and sometimes it's even more difficult to keep doing the things that we're maybe discouraged about or tempted to quit doing, and we find it difficult to pursue those things and carry on to do those things. How we do those, both of those things when it's needed to do, is by faith. That's what we learned this morning in our text in Hebrews chapter 11 and verse number 27. The Bible says, by faith he, speaking of Moses, forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. We see that Moses here is said to have forsaken Egypt, and yet he's also said to have endured. He knew when to let go of something, and he knew when to pursue something and carry on pursuing something, endure doing some things that needed to be done. You see, it's about letting go and hanging on by faith. And that's what our message will be about this morning. Let's pray together as we begin. Lord, thank you again that we can be here today, and we do rejoice in the beautiful weather. We thank you, Lord, for the opportunity to meet together in freedom around the Word of God. And Lord, we ask that we would not take this for granted, but that we'd appreciate it this morning. We appreciate the opportunity we have to hear from heaven, and Lord, to hear the message from the Scriptures that you've given to us for this day. And Lord, I pray that we would each one have attentive ears to hear the message that you have for us, for there's no doubt that you want to speak to us individually, each one. Lord, we're humbled by the thought of that today, to realize that you, the God of creation, the God of this universe, the God who spoke everything into being, who looks down and sees 7 billion or more people upon the face of the earth, cares to speak to each one of us individually today. We're thankful for that, and we ask, Lord, that we would listen to your voice, that still small voice speaking to our heart. And Lord, that we would respond to the message according to the need of our life. Lord, it may be that here this morning there may be some who've never trusted Jesus Christ as their own personal Savior. I pray that today would be the day they would realize your great love to them. Lord, that sacrificial death upon Calvary was for them to pay the price for their sin, and that they would receive your gift of salvation today. Lord, for those of us who know you, I pray that we would again be challenged by the reminder of Moses' life. Lord, that we would realize that in our life too, there are things that we need to let go of, we need to forsake, and there are things that we need to pursue and endure to do. And I pray you'd help us to realize those things this morning. And Lord, that we would leave here this morning glad that we came and knowing that we have met with you. For we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. We've been looking at Moses' life over the last couple of weeks. And the first mention of Moses in verse number 23 really is not dealing with his own faith, but the faith of his parents who hid him and recognized that God was going to use him in some way and preserve his life, which of course God did. Last week we looked at Moses himself and realized that he was a meek, merciful, compassionate man of God who communed with God. By faith he chose his sonship, chose not to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, but rather to suffer affliction with the people of God, to associate with the people of God. By faith he chose to do that. By faith he recognized that there were eternal rewards for suffering for Jesus Christ. And today we come to this realization that he came to forsake Egypt, and he continued and endured through some difficult circumstances in his life, which again he did by faith. We begin looking at the fact that he forsook Egypt. It says, by faith he, speaking of Moses, forsook Egypt. Now, the word forsake means to leave behind, to abandon. It seems to have a level of conviction and determination. It's not that he just kind of forgot about it, but he made a determination, intending to leave it behind. He forsook Egypt. He made that choice to forsake Egypt and leave it behind. There's some question as to when this is referring to. Some of the scholars have difference of opinion on whether this was when he went down and saw the Israelite being mistreated, or whether it's when all of Israel left Egypt. We'll get to that a little bit more and see when we believe that this took place a little bit later in the message. But remember this. To Moses, Egypt was home. He was born in Egypt, but he was born in that part of Egypt where the Israelites lived. But then he was raised in the palace. He was raised under the tutorship of all the best tutors in Egypt. And he had some great opportunities, but we realize that it was home to him. So when the Bible says by faith he forsook Egypt, it wasn't a lighthearted decision. It wasn't something that would have just been, oh well, no big deal. This was home to him. This is where he grew up in Pharaoh's daughter's house. And yet after recognizing the temporal nature of the pleasures of Egypt, he forsook it. He left it behind. Egypt had no interest for Moses because he had chosen a new path by faith. By faith, he forsook Egypt. Realize this, that in life, there are things that need to be forsaken. There are things that need to be set aside and put aside and saying, no, I'm not going to do that anymore. No, I'm not going to go there anymore. For many of us, we think of forsaken the negative way. I'm not supposed to do that anymore. But think about it. It can be a very positive thing. When a person is married, sometimes in the vows, it's forsaking all others, cleaving to him or her, depending on whether it's spoken to the bride or the groom, right? It's forsaking all others. It says, little black book, history. It's forsaken. It's gone. Because I have something better than that. I have the certainty of this relationship with the one whom I've chosen to spend the rest of my life with. So forsaking is not a negative, it's a positive. It's a blessing to forsake those for the one whom you've chosen to love. Forsaking all others, cleave only to them. Jesus uses that word in regards to marriage in Matthew chapter 19 and verse 5, is speaking of leaving father and mother and cleaving to the wife. And so there's a leaving behind and there's a cleaving to. Failure to throw out the little black book will result in trouble in marriage. If the little black book gets kept under, you know, on the nightstand or something, there's trouble headed for that marriage. It needs to be a forsaking of that and a decision to say, I'm leaving that behind because I've chosen this one. Yes, forsaking in marriage shows a commitment to the one to whom you have chosen to spend the rest of your life. Moses made a commitment to forsake Egypt, and he said, I'm leaving it behind. It was an intentional commitment to do so. And there are some things that we need to forsake in our lives. Sinners need to forsake their sin. The Bible says in Isaiah 55 and verse number 7, let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. And let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. Sinners need to see that, hey, I want God's salvation, therefore I'm turning away from my sin. I'm forsaking my sin, and I'm going to turn to the Lord, who will forgive me of my sin and pardon me of my sin. See, Proverbs 28:13 says, he that covereth his sins shall not prosper, but whoso confesseth and forsaketh them shall have mercy. Forsake sin. There's a term that Jesus uses in the New Testament, and it's used throughout the Bible, and it's called repentance. What is repentance? It's forsaking sin and turning to God. It's turning away from sin and turning to God. And the Bible says we need to repent of our sin, turn away from our sin. God says that He now commands all men everywhere to repent. God wants people to forsake their sin and turn to Him for salvation because He wants to have mercy upon them and forgive them of their sin. As a people, in general, as a society, as human beings, we say, well, I'll just make my sin not seem so bad. I'll cover it up. God says, no, don't cover it up. Get it out of there. Leave it behind. Forsake it and turn to Me. Because if you cover it, you will not prosper. But if you will confess and forsake it, you will have mercy. Acts 3:19 says, repent ye therefore, and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out. When the times of refreshing come from the presence of the Lord, God desires people to forsake their sin and turn to the Savior to be abundantly pardoned of their sin. Because God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Sin needs to be forsaken. Sin needs to be repented of. If you've never repented of your sin, forsaken your sin, and turned to Jesus Christ for your salvation, today would be the great day to do that, because Jesus says, "Come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." He invites you to come to him for salvation today. He tells you, repent of your sin, leave your sin behind, and come and receive my gift of salvation. And that invitation is open to those who know not Jesus Christ as their Savior today. But we recognize that as Christians also, we are to forsake the world and sin. We are to forsake the world and sin. That is, to not let the temptations of this world grip our hearts and entice us to sin. The songwriter said it this way, "I have decided to follow Jesus, no turning back, no turning back." It's a decision to forsake the world and follow Jesus Christ. Jesus said that we would be in this world, but we are not to be of this world. Yes, we shop here, we work here, we live here, but Jesus says, don't pattern yourself after this world. Rather, forsake those things of the world and be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Many Christians are hindered in their service for Christ or quit altogether in their service for Christ because they aren't willing to set aside the things of the world, aren't willing to forsake the temptations that come their way in this world. We mentioned it last week where 1 John chapter 2 says, "Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passeth away, and the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever." We realize that there's some things in this world that we need to forsake. The Bible talks about some things that we need to flee from. That's forsake. Leave them behind. Get away from them. In 1 Corinthians 6:18, for example, the Bible says, "Flee fornication." Stay away from immorality. And sometimes Christians end up being wrapped up in immorality. God says, flee it. Get away from it. Forsake it. Flee fornication. In word, in deed, in view of the things that you watch, the things you look at, the things you think about, and the very acts of your life, flee fornication. Forsake it. Get away from it. The Bible says, in 1 Corinthians 10:14, "Wherefore, my dearly beloved, flee from idolatry." Say, well, we don't have idols here. We don't worship idols. I don't have anything set up in my house that I bow down to and so on. But what's God saying? He's saying, don't be deceived into worshiping a false god or a false religion. Some have said it this way, that anything that comes between you and God is an idol. Because God says, seek first the kingdom of God. God says, put me first and not anything else. You may say, well, I don't have any idols, but sometimes there are things in our life that we place on a higher level than we put God in our life. So the Bible says, "Wherefore, my dearly beloved, flee from idolatry." Flee fornication. Flee from idolatry. In 1 Timothy 6:11, he says, "But thou, O man of God, flee these things." What things? Well, he's been speaking about the world and the love of money. And follow after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, and meekness. It's not wrong to have money. It's not wrong to have a nice home or a nice car or nice things to have. He's not saying that you shouldn't be allowed to have those things. He's saying don't let those things get in the wrong place in your life. Don't let them be the focus of your life. Follow after righteousness. Why? Because the love of money is the root of all evil, which while some have coveted after, they have erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. That's why he says, flee those things. Flee also youthful lust, he goes on to say in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 22. But follow after righteousness, faith, charity, peace, with them that call on the Lord out of a pure heart. Flee youthful lusts. Some things that as we mature in our Christian life, we look at and say, you know, those things I used to think were so great and so amazing, they really need to take a back seat. They need to be gone. Flee these things. In Philippians chapter 3, verse number 13, Paul says, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Yes, there are some things in this life that need to be forsaken. Some bad habits that we have need to be forsaken. Some sin in our life, it needs to be forsaken. God says, forsake it. Moses, by faith, said, I'm not going to be associated with Egypt. I don't want to be part of this Egyptian system. And so he forsook Egypt. Egypt is a picture of the world to the Christian and the world's system. And Moses said, I'm leaving that behind and I'm following after God. I'm following after what God has for me in my life. There are many Christians who aren't doing all they could for the Lord today because we aren't willing to forsake the things in our life and those things are holding us back. And God would say, just give me my all. And we say, well, I'll give you everything, Lord, except I just need this. And God says, no, seek me first. Give me your all. Follow me. No man having put his hand to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom of God, Jesus says. We need to put our hand forward and look to God and go forth for Him. Sometimes we try and hold on to the world with one hand and trying to hold on to God with the other. We try to sit on the proverbial fence and just try and balance it out. But God says, no, you got to give me your all. The songwriter says, I surrender all to Jesus I surrender, all to Him I freely give. Take my life and let it be consecrated, Lord, to Thee. No holding back. Some are not willing to follow Christ and identify with Him in baptism because they aren't willing to identify so closely with Christ, knowing that it entails leaving the world behind because the Bible says we are buried with Him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised from the dead, so also we should walk in newness of life. Putting things behind and going forward. Some aren't serving Christ like they could because they aren't quite willing to give Him they're all. Moses, by faith, forsook Egypt. He said, I'm giving God my all. I'm leaving behind Egypt. He left for the right reason. Now here's where we talk a little bit about when is it referring to? It says, by faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. Some feel that Moses' forsaking of Egypt refers to when all the Israelites left because it said he didn't fear the wrath of the king. I believe that according to the chronological passage here in the scripture that when speaking of Moses leaving Egypt, forsaking Egypt, it's speaking of when he left Egypt and went out into the backside of the desert. Because notice that it says, first, he refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. That was last week. He chose rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. Then he forsook Egypt. And then fourthly, it says in the next verse, through faith, he kept the Passover. Well, the Passover happened before they left Egypt. And so therefore, we realize that because the Passover is when the angel of death came. And it was after that they left Egypt. So realize that if this is in order of the events, then when he forsook Egypt, it was when he said, I'm out of here, I'm leaving. And he defended his fellow Israelite, and then he left and went to the backside of the desert where he spent another 40 years. Regardless of when it was, as we already looked, it must have been a difficult decision. I'm sure that he loved his adoptive mother. I mean, after all, she'd raised him. She'd looked after him and cared for him, and I'm sure made sure again that he had all the things that he could ever want. I'm sure he enjoyed the pleasures of the palace and the position of being a prince in Egypt. Who wouldn't like that? I mean, let's face it, it would have been an awesome opportunity, wouldn't it? It wouldn't have been an easy decision to forsake that and leave it all behind. It would have been a difficult thing to do. Many perhaps saw him as leaving for fear of the crimes that he had committed. Remember in Exodus chapter 2, it's recorded that he slew the Egyptian who was beating up the Israelite. And then he didn't think anybody knew. But come to find out just a little while later when he tried to separate two Israelites who were fighting, they said, "Are you going to kill one of us like you killed the Egyptian?" He said, "Whoa, wait a minute, news has gotten out." And you would think maybe that was the reason that he left, was for fear of that, fear of Pharaoh finding out. He could have been accused of leaving for fear based on that timing. But I believe he fled because he realized that it was not time for him yet to lead Israel out. Now turn with me to Acts chapter 7. I believe that Stephen in his message in Acts chapter 7 shed some light on this here as he preached the message to the council there that was accusing him. And it says in Acts chapter 7, verse number 23, speaking in Moses here, verse 22, it says, "Moses was learned in all the wisdom of the Egyptians and was mighty in words and in deeds. And when he was full 40 years old, it came to his heart to visit his brethren, the children of Israel. And seeing one of them suffer wrong, he defended him and avenged him that was oppressed and smote the Egyptian." Look at verse 25. "For he supposed his brethren would have understood how that God by his hand would deliver them, but they understood it, and they understood not. And the next day he showed himself unto them as they strove and would have set them at one again, saying, 'Sirs, ye are brethren, why do ye wrong one to another?' But he that did his neighbor wrong thrust him away, saying, 'Who made thee a ruler and a judge over us? Wilt thou kill me as thou didst the Egyptian yesterday?' Then fled Moses at the saying and was a stranger in the land of Midian, where he begat two sons." Notice what it says there in verse number 25. He supposed his brethren would have understood how that God by his hand would deliver them. Moses thought people would understand. He thought people would realize and recognize that he was called of God to deliver Israel out of Egypt. How did he know that? God must have revealed it to him, and he thought that they would understand that. When he realized they didn't understand, he said, "I better leave. They're not ready yet. They're not ready to be delivered out of Egypt yet." And so then he fled. And so he fled not because he was afraid, but because he had faith that God would use him to deliver Israel, but realizing it wasn't time yet. You know, the missionary isn't forsaking all when he goes to the mission field. He did that before he surrendered his all to God. It said of James Calvert, who went as a missionary to the cannibals of Fiji Islands, said that the ship's captain, when they were traveling to that area, the ship's captain tried to turn them back and said, "You'll lose your life and the lives of those with you if you go among such savages." To that, James Calvert replied, "We died before we came here." What was he saying? We forsook everything already. We already gave our lives to the Lord. And if he sees fit that he would take our lives, or these people kill us, then we've already given our all to the Lord. He wasn't saying we're giving our all when we step off the ship. He said we gave our all to the Lord. That's why we're on this ship heading to where we're going. Moses forsook Egypt when he went down to try and deliver Israel, and they didn't understand it, so then he left. He left and went out of the land altogether. We must make a decision in our hearts before it will ever affect our lives. If we are forced into forsaking something externally, then it isn't really forsaking it at all, is it? It's a decision that we made. Moses chose to forsake Egypt by faith. Somebody has expressed the word faith in an acrostic, and it's this: forsaking all, I trust Him. F-A-I-T-H. Forsaking all, I trust Him. Moses forsook Egypt because he trusted God and trusted the plan that God had for his life. Have you given your all to God? Have you let go by faith? As we carry on in our verse this morning, we see that Moses not only let go by faith or forsook Egypt by faith, he endured by faith. Endurance means to be strong, steadfast, patient. It's not just gritting your teeth and saying, all right, I guess so. I was patient. Enduring. Being patient about it. It's like running a marathon, not a sprint. It's a lot easier to run a sprint than a marathon, isn't it? When you can see the finish line from the start line, you say, well, all I got to do is just go up there. But a marathon, you don't see the finish line. It's miles away. And you keep going, just have to keep going one step at a time. One step at a time, one step at a time, and keep going one more step, one more step, one more step. Life is not a sprint, it's a marathon. The Bible says that by faith, Moses forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. Moses had endurance. He realized that his life was a marathon. And he endured through that. To realize that though Moses knew God would use him to deliver Israel, according to what we just read in Acts chapter 7, he had to wait a long time before it became reality. A long time. Like, I mean, a long time. 40 years. It's a long time. When he was 40 years old, he thought, this is it. They'll understand. I'm going to deliver them. And they said, who made you the rule over us? And he left Egypt and he didn't come back for 40 years. And God said, now Moses, it's time to go back. It's time to go back and deliver Israel out of the bondage of Egypt. Though he thought that at 40 years old he was ready to step in and lead Israel back, God said, they're not ready for you, Moses, and you're not ready for the task either. You got another 40 years of learning to do. I mean, think about Moses. Again, we've talked about it, but he was trained by the palace of Egypt. I mean, he was probably in some way groomed to be a leader in Egypt. It wasn't just that he came and stumbled out, rolled out of bed one day and says, oh, I think I'll go lead our people out of the land. I mean, he probably felt he was well prepared and trained for the job of leading the nation of Israel out of Egypt. He was learned in all the wisdom of the Egyptians and was mighty in words and deeds. Wow. Mighty in words and deeds. A knowledgeable man in his own mind, ready to go. He knew the Pharaoh. He knew the method of government. He knew what it would take to get Israel out of Egypt. And he said, I'm ready. You guys should understand this, but they didn't. He probably knew the geography of Egypt and the best path to lead them out of Egypt into Canaan. I mean, he was learned. He was mighty in knowledge and wisdom. But he was only halfway ready. God says, you got another 40 years. 40 more years? Are you kidding? But he endured. He was patient in waiting for that time. He knew the promises of God. He knew the time had passed based on God's promise to Abraham, and he thought he was fully prepared, but God says, no, you're not ready yet, and they're not ready for you to deliver them yet. With all his connections, wisdom, knowledge, and faith, it was time to move out. God said, no, it's not time to move out yet. How could you overcome that misunderstanding? I mean, how would you endure that? Talk about disappointment. He goes down there ready to deliver them, thinking, man, I'm going to save the day here. And they say, who are you? But God sent me here. God prepared me, and God's done all this in my life, and here I am at this crossroads, and I'm ready to go. And they're not ready. How do you endure that? Well, we read it in our first two words of our text, don't we? By faith. He trusted God. He said, God, you've told me I'm going to be the one to deliver them, and they're not ready. So I guess it's going to have to wait some more time. Disappointed? No doubt. But trusting God. 40 more years of preparation. How could you endure another 40 years? And 40 years in the desert? Why? Well, God knew He was going to prepare them for another 40 years in the desert. By faith, he trusted God. If we have to wait 40 minutes, man, long time, isn't it? 40 minutes, isn't that preacher done yet? Hasn't it been close to 40 minutes? 40 minutes, but 40 years? How do you endure that? By faith? Many times in this life that we need to endure by faith. We say, we're ready to go. I'm ready, man. Let's get at it. And the Lord says, you're not quite ready yet. Just another 40 years. Oh, hold on a minute. Wait a minute. Maybe it won't be that long. Endurance, faith, patience in enduring. Sometimes it's needed because we're misunderstood and taken the wrong way. How can we forgive? How can we move on from that? By faith. Because God says it's the right thing to do. God says that's what you need to do. And so we trust Him by faith. Sometimes it's a disappointment that we face and it seems to put us flat on our back. And we say, how am I going to get through this? And God says, by faith, trust me. Trust me. Just hang in there. Keep trusting me. Sometimes we think we're prepared and trained and all set to do what we need to do. Maybe even something that we know God wants done. But God says, just wait a minute. You need a little bit more learning. You need a little bit more preparation. You must wait by faith. We endure those times of disappointment by faith. What was Moses' secret to that endurance? Look at the end of the verse. As seeing Him who is invisible. He endured, how? As seeing Him who is invisible. How can you see someone who's invisible? By faith. Moses didn't physically see Him who was invisible. There was a time when God revealed Himself to Moses. And He said, I'm going to put my hand over the cleft of the rock and you'll just be able to see me behind me. But here when He says He endured as seeing Him who is invisible, it's speaking about His faith, His trust in God whom He could not see. Remember the beginning verse of the chapter? Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. If we are to endure the trials this life brings, we must look to God by faith. Remember, His timing is not ours. His is better. It doesn't seem it to us at the time, but His is better. Truly, the key to endurance, as we've seen in Moses' life, is what we see in the next chapter. And look at chapter 12 of Hebrews. Chapter 12, verse number 1, says, wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, that's these who are mentioned in chapter 11, who have done great things by faith. They're witnesses to us of what can be accomplished by faith. And so he says, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. Isn't that what we talked about? Forsaking Egypt, that's lay aside the sin, and lay aside the weights that would so easily beset us, and run with patience. There's the endurance, letting go and carrying on by faith. Look at verse 2. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before Him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. He endured by faith. He looked to God by faith. Moses did, and the Bible says that we need to look to Jesus, who did the same thing. For consider Him that endured such contradiction of sinners against Himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your mind. Consider Jesus Christ. Moses says he endured as seeing Him who is invisible. He couldn't think about Jesus' death upon the cross because that hadn't happened yet. But he endured. He realized God had a plan. God has a purpose. And I can see God working this in my life. And I don't understand the timing. I don't understand the disappointment of this. But I'm going to carry on because God has a plan and a purpose in this. But what do we need to do to endure? We need to lay aside the weight. That's the worldly stuff that will slow us down. We need to forsake the sin. Sin will always hinder you. Sin will always hinder us in our life. It'll always slow us down. It'll always be a snare to trip us up. Forsake it and run with patience. That's that endurance. A step at a time. A step at a time. A step at a time. Keep going forward by faith and look to Jesus because He is our example. Yeah, in this life there are things we need to forsake. There are things that we need to say, it's got to go. It's got to go. Sinner, have you forsaken your sin and come to the Savior? You look back at a time in your life where you said, I'm done with this sin. It's keeping me out of heaven. And there's a Savior who wants to forgive me. I'm going to turn away from that sin and I'm going to receive that gift that that Savior is offering to me. And receive Jesus Christ as your personal Savior and acknowledged that sin, repented of it, and turned to Him and believed upon Him. Forsake that sin and turn to the Savior if you haven't done so already. Christian, are you fleeing those things that are holding you back from serving God? Leaving them behind and saying, I don't want anything to hinder me from serving my Lord. Moses forsook Egypt by faith. In this life, there are many disappointments and trials, and yet we must not quit. How can we endure? By faith. How can we continue in that marriage that seems so difficult? By faith, because it's right, because that's what God says. How can we continue living for God with such opposition? By faith, because God says all those who live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. Carry on. Don't quit. It takes faith. Look to God and do what is right. Realize His way is best. He has a plan. It's a perfect plan. Just gotta carry on by faith. Realize His timing is perfect. Realize that He knows what is ahead. It comes down to this. Are you letting go and hanging on by faith? Let's pray together. Lord, thank You again for this time in Your Word and thank You for the challenge for Moses' life. Lord, we are challenged by the fact of forsaking Egypt. We recognize, Lord, that in each of our lives there needs to come a time and a place where we would forsake sin and turn to the Savior. For Your Word tells us that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Your Word tells us that the wages of sin is death, but also that the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And Lord, I pray if there's anyone here this morning that's never forsaken their sin and trusted Jesus Christ as their only hope of salvation, that today would be the day where they would receive Jesus Christ as their own Savior. Know the joy that heaven has prepared and waiting for them. And know the joy of the presence of God in their life every day. Lord, for those of us who are Christians, we know that there's things in our life that we need to forsake. That sin creeps in so easily. But Lord, You've told us that we need to flee from it. We need to forsake it. We need to get rid of it. Confess it. Find mercy. Lord, I pray that we would not harbor sin in our life, but rather that we would see that we need to forsake it today. Maybe other things in our life, Lord, that are not wrong in themselves, but we put them between us and You. And they need to be put back in their right place. They need to be forsaken in that sense. Lord, I pray that we would not allow them to block that fellowship with You that You so desire us to have. We would not allow it to hinder what You would desire to do in our lives and through our lives, but we confess those things to You and forsake them, put them in their right place. And Lord, again, as we think of enduring, this life is got lots of trials and tribulations and disappointments and difficulties and misunderstandings. And Lord, we recognize that we need to carry on by faith, looking to You, because You endured, Lord Jesus, the cross for us. We need to look to You and see Your example and endure by faith to carry on, to keep running the race that You've set before us. That marathon that it is of this life, we would not get discouraged and quit, but we would carry on to the finish. We'd, like Paul, press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Lord, work in our lives, I pray, during this invitation time and speak to us, everyone. We ask it in Jesus' name. Well, our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed this morning. Nobody's looking around. I need to ask you this morning, do you know Jesus Christ as your Savior? Has there been a time and a place in your life where you forsook your sin and trusted Jesus Christ? You say, yes, preacher, that's me. I remember coming to the Lord and asking Him to forgive me. And I remember receiving Him as my Savior by faith. Preacher, that's me. I know that Jesus Christ is my Savior. And that's my testimony. Just raise your hand as a testimony of that this morning. Amen. Many hands this morning. Many, many hands. It could be that you're here this morning and could not raise your hand. I appreciate your honesty if that is you this morning. But would you this morning receive Jesus Christ as your Savior? Are you here this morning and say, preacher, I couldn't raise my hand a minute ago. But I'd like to know that Jesus is my Savior. I'd like to know that heaven is my home. I'd like to have that assurance. Preacher, would you pray for me? Anybody like that, just slip up your hand. Let me pray for you this morning. I don't want to embarrass you or call out your name. I just want to pray for you. All right, Christian, you're here this morning and you raised your hand a moment ago and you said, yes, I know. I forsook my sin. I received Jesus Christ as my Savior. But maybe there's been some things that are crept back into your life. Maybe there's some sin that needs to be forsaken, some habits that need to go, some things that need to be put in the right place. You say, preacher, God's spoken to my heart about some of those things. Would you pray for me? Just slip up your hand and let me pray for you this morning. Amen. Lord bless you. Amen. Lord bless you. Anybody else? Amen. Lord bless you. Maybe you say, preacher, I don't know if there's anything that's really crept back into my life, but I've been struggling with some things and there's been some disappointments, some discouragements in my life, and I've been on the verge of quitting, and God's just encouraged my heart. And preacher, would you pray for me that I wouldn't quit, but I'd be like Moses and endure by faith? Amen. Lord bless you. Anybody else? Amen. Lord, thank you for speaking to our hearts this morning. Thank you, Lord, for the testimony of these who raised their hand that they know you. Lord, what a blessing it is to know you. Lord, if there be any who don't, I pray that today will be the day that they realize the joy that comes with that forgiveness and salvation and receive your gift of eternal life. Lord, for those who raise their hand about some things that need to be forsaken, some things that need to be put away, help them, Lord, to follow through with the decisions that they need to make on those things. Lord, for those who raise their hand of some discouragement perhaps and some thoughts of quitting maybe, Lord, that they would realize that you want them to carry on and endure by faith and just guide them and strengthen them. Lord, you've told us that those who wait upon you will renew their strength and then mount up with wings as eagles and run and not be weary and walk and not faint. So help them, Lord, to depend upon you. As we sing a hymn of invitation, Father, I ask that you'd help us to make those decisions that we need to make, follow through with those hands that have been raised, and Lord, to make those decisions that need to be made in our lives, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.